You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Acts chapter 12 this morning, beginning in verse 1. And if you're joining us for the first time, encourage you to bring a Bible or maybe pull it up on your phone, a great opportunity for you to study with us through the Word of God. And here in Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. And so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." It was in the book of Acts, chapters 10 and 11, where the apostle Peter had the unique privilege of being the first person to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. He was welcomed into the home of a Roman soldier. And as Peter began to share how that Jesus had died on a cross for the sins of the world and then risen again on the third day and offered salvation to all who would repent of sin, the soldier and his entire family came to faith in Christ. It was following that encounter that the floodgates opened and the gospel continued to spread among the Gentile regions. However, this plunged the church into another wave of persecution. King Herod united both the political and religious parties in harassing the church and ordering the death of the apostle James. Now, when reading through the New Testament, you will discover that there is more than one person with the name Herod. In fact, there are five men named Herod. Each of them were part of the Herodian dynasty. This particular king was Herod Agrippa I. He was the grandson of Herod the Great, who was the king reigning during the time of Jesus' birth, who had ordered the death of all of the children there in the Bethlehem region. But much like his forefathers, Herod Agrippa I was a very evil and wicked man. He grew up being educated in Rome. He had endeared himself to one of the future Roman emperors named Caligula. And when Caligula came to power, he gave Agrippa Syria, Galilee, and Perea. Later on, he gave him Judea and Samaria to rule over. And in order to further secure his political position, Agrippa sought to connect himself to the religious Jews. And so he practiced the Jewish religion. He offered daily sacrifices in the temple. He even read from the law of Moses publicly. He was well aware of the religious frustrations with the early church and the growing ministry of the apostles. Therefore, he arrested James and ordered his execution by the sword. This particular man named James was the brother of the apostle John. They were fishermen from Galilee. James and John, along with Peter, were some of the first disciples that Jesus had called to follow him. James and John also, with Peter, became part of the inner three disciples whom Jesus would often take aside and share with them further instructions. But here, James was put to death by the sword. No trial, no defense, just martyrdom. James laid down his life for the cause of Christ. But one death wasn't enough for evil King Herod, for the Bible says in verse 3, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also." The death of James had brought such a favorable response from the religious leaders that Herod decided to continue his reign of terror and persecution by arresting Peter. Peter was arrested during the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which combined with the Passover to commemorate the exodus of the Jewish people out of their bondage in Egypt. It was Herod's intention at the end of that week, at the end of the celebration, to put Peter to death. Now, you may recall from our studies in the book of Acts that this was not the first time that Peter had been in prison. Peter had already done some time for his bold witness. It was back in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John had healed a lame man, that they were brought before the Sanhedrin and arrested. Then again, in Acts chapter 5, the apostles had not heeded the warning of the authorities to discontinue preaching the gospel, and so they were arrested again and put in prison. However, on that occasion, there was an angelic jailbreak. And Herod, being aware of Peter's previous jail time, decided to take extra precaution and had Peter guarded by four separate squads of soldiers, meaning that one of the four squads would rotate shifts throughout the night, ensuring that he would not escape. Peter was chained between two soldiers within the cell, and two other soldiers stood guard on the outside. At this point in the story, things looked impossible for Peter. The one-time outspoken leader of the church had been sentenced to death. James had been killed, and it was now a matter of time before Peter would join him. All seemed hopeless. Everything at this moment seemed impossible. But friends, I want you to understand something this morning. The word impossible is defined as something that cannot be done. It labels something as being completely out of the question. But when you define something as impossible, you must always measure the impossibility by the agent that is doing the work. Granted, there are certain things from a human perspective that we are incapable of doing due to our limitations and could easily be defined as impossible. However, when the Almighty God, who spoke the universe into existence, whom the Bible says stretched out the heavens like a curtain, who spans the universe with his hands, when God is the agent doing the work, impossibility then becomes absurdity. For there is nothing too hard for God. And maybe this morning, you're in the midst of facing some impossibility, perhaps a medical diagnosis, perhaps a financial strain, perhaps a marriage crisis, a child that has wandered away, is doing drugs. Whatever the impossibility is, I want to encourage you this morning, factor God into the equation. Bring God into the midst of it, for nothing is too hard for him. In the midst of the government harassing the church, Peter being imprisoned now for his faith, something powerful was taking place outside of the prison walls. And this is what was happening. The church was praying. The Bible says in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church didn't have any other options. They couldn't petition the king. They couldn't post bail. They didn't have some defense attorney or some First Amendment to claim as their own. All that they could do was cry out to God in prayer. But friend, listen, prayer makes all the difference. Prayers were offered up to God, and not just any kind of prayer, but constant prayer. And the word constant means earnest prayer. It means to stretch or to strain. The church was actually straining in prayer, agonizing fervently in intercession. It was earnest. It was heartfelt prayer. And this word for fervent prayer also reminds us of the way that Jesus prayed when he was in the garden. It says he prayed more earnestly, more intensely, and his sweat became like great drops of blood. The Bible says that it's the fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman that avails much. And even though the gates of Herod's dungeon were closed, the gates of heaven were swinging open wide as the prayers of the saints were filling the heavens. The church fell to its knees in a ceaseless volume of prayer, ascended to the throne of grace, and God was about to respond. Friends, right now as a church, We have made intercession on behalf of this nation our top priority. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of preaching. No, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And the church has to be interceding right now. The church has to be praying because it's prayer that changes things. And one of the things that prayer changes is us. And I wonder if we're at that place now where we're desperate, but we're fervently seeking the Lord. Someone said that prayer is not designed for the furnishing of God with the knowledge of what we need, but it is designed as a confession to him of our sense of need. And the highest purpose of prayer, if you didn't know this morning, is to see God's will accomplished. That's the highest purpose of prayer. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said that men ought everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting in prayer. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not faint or lose heart. The Bible says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Folks, we can never underestimate the power of prayer nor of a praying church. Prayer is not to be our last resort, but our first and most powerful option. Listen, this is what Jim Elliot said, that young missionary who went and died for his faith. He said this, quote, God is still on the throne and we are still on his footstool. And there is only a knee's distance between us. As the constant prayers of the church were offered up, it resulted in some amazing things. First of all, prayer provided peace. It says here in verse 6 and 7, when Herod was about to bring Peter out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards, it says, before the door were keeping the prison. Think about this, folks. Peter was sleeping the night before his execution. It doesn't say he was pacing. It doesn't say he was biting his nails. It doesn't say he was calling his lawyer. He was sleeping so soundly that he had to be woken up. He had peace. Why? Because people were praying. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Prayer provided peace in the midst of the prison. When we are in trouble, when we are in distress, we cry out to God and we leave the circumstances in his hands and he provides peace. The Apostle Paul wrote from his own prison cell to the church in Philippi, he said this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God provided as we pray and seek his face. Although Peter was surrounded by soldiers, his heart was at peace because he was surrounded by the Lord through prayer. But this prayer also brought illumination. Look at what it says. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood, and the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up and said, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. It says that light shone, whether that was the angel's presence or some miraculous manifestation of light, light came into the midst of the darkness of that prison cell. You know, the Bible tells us that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. The Bible explains to us that those who walk in the light, as he is in the light, have fellowship with God. Peter was in a place where he didn't know what to do, but prayer provided the answers that he needed. Light illuminated his path. And I believe that as we pray for those who are bound in prison of their own sin, maybe it's not a physical cell, but an invisible cell within their life, that God can send light unto them, can open their eyes, and when he opens their eyes, illuminates their path. The church continued to pray. And as they did, how I love this passage. It says that Peter's chains fell off. Darkness was illuminated and chains were broken. I love this picture of chains being broken. When God comes into the situation, when we allow ourselves to intercede and pray fervently, chains are broken. Friend, do you know anyone today who's bound? in sin? Pray for them. Do you have family, friends who need Christ? Pray for them. There may be some here this morning who appear on the surface and from your Instagram story to be happy, but you are unfulfilled and you are unsatisfied and you know that there's a void within your life and you don't know how to fill it. And your career path hasn't provided it. That relationship hasn't fulfilled it. This other pursuit hasn't satisfied you. You're still empty. I want to tell you something. It's not until you come to Christ that that emptiness is fulfilled. The church was praying and chains were being broken. And some of you today who know who you are, you're in bondage to sin. And God can break your chains. God can liberate you. Whom the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. Amen. The intercession of the people also brought direction, for it says that the angel spoke to him in verse 8 and said, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. And so he did. And then he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. And so he went out and followed him and didn't know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Here's Peter sitting there in the prison cell. The angel comes in, his chains fall off, and the angel starts giving him instruction. Direction. Prayer provides direction. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But as I pray, God begins to lead me. Peter didn't understand what was taking place. He didn't know necessarily how much prayer was being offered up. He thought he was seeing a vision. He was having a dream of sorts. But the angel begins to give Peter direction. And he gives him step one. Here's step one. Put on your garments. Where's my garments? I mean, that's step one. Very practical. Get your clothes on, man. Secondly, get your shoes on. Where's that other sandal? I mean, he starts getting interested. It's so practical. You know, sometimes we think that God's will has to be so esoteric and, ooh, this is how I discovered it. It was this cloud that came over and it looked like something. It's something crazy and God's just saying, no, just get up. Start there. Get up, put your clothes on, put your shoes on, start walking and see what God does. I mean, it's very practical. Suddenly, Peter starts moving. And he doesn't have to kick open the door. He doesn't have to climb over it. It just starts opening. He does what he's told to do. He takes a step. And when he takes that step, doors that were closed just start opening. He's being directed. How? By prayer. God is working. Friend, listen, as you just get up and you pray and you commit your day to the Lord, you start out by saying, God, let your will be done in my life today. I believe that as you go into that day, there is a progressive revelation of the will of God for your life. That's what you prayed for. And God's leading you. And doors start swinging open. The Bible tells us that Jesus opens the door that no one can shut. And he shuts the doors that no one can open. Do you need doors open right now? Are you knocking on some doors? Are you huffing and puffing and trying to kick them down? Pray. Ask God to open the door. And he will. God is working. Directing. For some of you today, the door that you need to know that's open right now is the door of salvation. Jesus said, I am the door to salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You can have your sins forgiven today. You can have the hope of heaven. And in a few minutes, when I wrap this up, I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you're here and you've never received Christ, or you're backslidden and you've turned away from Christ, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get up out of your seat and come stand below this platform and get your life right with God today. This could be your moment, friend. This is your opportunity. And so there's Peter. Suddenly the doors are swinging open. He gets outside of the prison. And when he's standing on the street, he realizes, oh, I guess this was the Lord. I guess God is directing. Have you ever had that experience? You're not sure if God's directing you, if God's leading you. And then you get down the road a little bit and suddenly you think, oh my goodness. Like, that was God. I mean, how did that happen? How did this come about? How did I meet her? Oh, that's God. It's the Lord. God does it. Some of you are really excited right now and wide awake. But listen, God's the one that opens the doors. And so Peter gets out. And so what does he decide to do? He's standing on the street. The angel disappears. What does he decide? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go visit the prayer meeting. So he goes to the prayer meeting. Look at what it says in verse 13. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate where the prayer meeting was happening, a girl named Rhoda came to answer when she recognized Peter's voice. Because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate. She ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Now look at this response of these fervent prayer warriors. Verse 15, they said to her, "You're beside yourself." That's a way of saying, "You're nuts. You're crazy. You've lost your mind." She kept insisting that it was so. And then they said, "It's an angel. It's not Peter." But notice what it says next. I mean, even, by the way, even if it was an angel, wouldn't you go to the door? Now, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand, he kept silent. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went another place. This is so great. The prayer meeting for Peter's release was held at the home of a woman named Mary, who was the sister of Barnabas and the mother of John Mark. And when Peter came to the door, he's knocking. The maidservant Rhoda comes out, answers the door, and she's so surprised that he's standing there that she just leaves him there, doesn't even open the door, just runs into the prayer meeting where fervent prayer is being offered to God on behalf of Peter's release. She says, "I've got great news. Peter's outside." That's crazy, okay? We're praying for Peter's release. Don't mess with us. That's not cool. They didn't believe it. And then they hear Peter knocking. And can I just say to you, this really encourages me. You say, how does it encourage you? Because sometimes when I pray, I don't necessarily have all the faith that I think I need. Or I may doubt sometimes whether God is moving or doing something because I can't see it. And I can even in my flesh, in a lack of faith, limit God's ability. But this shows me right here that God can work even with little faith. Jesus said this, you remember, Jesus asked his disciples, they had asked him to teach him how to pray. And Jesus had told them, if you pray and you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Be removed," and it would be removed. I'm learning as I walk with the Lord, it's not so much my great faith, but God's great faithfulness to me. Do you trust God? Do you believe God? Do you even have a mustard seed size of faith? The Lord says, "I can work with that." Do you trust in the Lord today? Are you fearful? Are you stressing out? Or are you trusting and resting in God? Often like these early Christians that were gathered for the prayer meeting, when we see God actually answering prayer or working like we asked him to, we're shocked. We can't even believe that happened. You did pray about it, right? I know. But it happened. I know, God's amazing like that. He just has ways of answering prayer. We express our need to God, and it provides the peace of God. It provides illumination, direction, joy in the answer. And Peter comes out, and he has a testimony. What he does through prayer, he testifies of what God had done and how God had delivered him.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor John Randall. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor John's teaching ministry by visiting adailywalk.org.